You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Yisrael 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha in Chutz La'aretz is Parsha's Chukas, and in Eretz Yisrael, it's Parsha's Balak. And the focus of this Parsha podcast is going to be on the relationship of the Jewish people and the nations of the world. And before I get into that, I want to just let you all know that this Parsha podcast, always when we get to Parsha's Balak, it's the completion of a cycle for me. I started 19 years ago with Parsha's Pinchas, and that's next week's Parsha in Eretz Yisrael. So when we get to Balak, it's the completion. And for this year, we're at 19 years. And one of the things that I want to talk about that has to do with the relationship between the Jewish people and the nations of the world is the 19-year cycle. 19 years of podcasts, 19-year cycle. Every 19 years, we have a realignment of the Jewish calendar and the solar calendar, the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. And in those 19 years, we have 7 leap years. Now, this is something that we spoke about in the Mashiach podcast, which we recorded at the beginning of the war, the October 7th war. And I'm going to speak a little bit, maybe more than a little bit, about that cycle, where we are currently in that cycle. It will be a bit of a continuation of what I spoke about in the Mashiach podcast 2.5 years ago. And understanding what goes on in the cycle and the relationship between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar, and how that parallels the relationship between the Jewish people, as represented by the moon, right? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the Torah gives the moon to the Jewish people at the Jewish people's inception. How the lunar calendar relates, and how the Jewish people relates to the solar calendar, which represents the nations of the world. The nations of the world count based on the sun, 365 days is their calendar. The Jewish calendar is 11 days shorter, 355 days. And so every 3 years, we've lost 33 days. Don't worry about the calculations so much. Just understand that we need to add an extra month of 29, 30 days to the lunar calendar in order to catch up, in order for the Jewish calendar to catch up and make sure that we keep Pesach. Passover is always in the spring. Okay, hold that thought for a moment. I'd like to look at Parshas Chukas, and I'd like to look at Parshas Balak. And I'd like to show you that what's happening here has very much to do with this 19-year cycle, the relationship between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. It also has to do with us very much in our relationship currently with the nations of the world. And it has to do with the fact that in Parshas Chukas, we are skipping 38 years of Jewish history. We learned last week, if you are in Chutz La'aretz, about 2 weeks ago for us in Israel, about the story of Korach, which was at the beginning of the Jewish people's wanderings in the wilderness. And we skip in Parshas Chukas to the end of those years, to 38 years later, when Miriam dies and they lose the well of water, Moshe and Aaron, Moshe strikes the rock. As we're about to get into Israel, he's not allowed to actually lead us into Israel, but we're standing on the precipice. And then we have interactions. As we're coming into Eretz Yisrael, that's when we start to interact with the nations of the world, right? In Egypt, so there was a certain interaction that we had, but we were slaves, and then Hashem freed us. It wasn't so much of a national interaction. This is the beginning of the time when the Jewish people are going to conquer the land of Israel, the other side of the Jordan River as well, killing Og and Sichon, the Amori, the Amorite people, avoiding the people of Edom, avoiding the people of Moab, avoiding the people of Ammon. And then in what we're going to read in Eretz Yisrael, in Parshas Balak, so we have the Moabite people seeing what's going on with the Jewish people's interaction with the nations. We'll see more about that. We're gonna have to think about it. Okay? But you see the foundation of both parshias, Chukas and Balak, is the beginning of Klal Yisrael's entrance into the land of Israel, which is really the completion of them becoming a nation. Not just the nation that receives the Torah, which is really what they were doing from the beginning of the 40 years throughout that time. They were just studying Torah. The man was falling. The manna was falling from heaven. They were in paradise. They were in Gan Eden, so to speak. They were taken care of. Their clothes never wore out. They were sitting and learning, right? But now Klal Yisrael is coming into Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to be a nation, not just a nation that, of course, abolishes idolatry, teaches people about one God, teaches people about the experience at Har Sinai, and what it means for everyone to realize the oneness of Hashem and experience that connection between themselves and Hashem, etc. The Chafetz Chaim talks about what that experience was at Har Sinai. But we're going to be a nation that now represents that and teaches it to the world. So we're going to start interacting with the nations that surround us. We're going to start having interactions with the nations. And if you think about it, that's really what's going on in current Jewish history. Klal Yisrael is returning to Eretz Yisrael, 7.7 million strong as of the last census, probably getting closer to 8 million. Most of the Jewish people is already in the land of Israel right now. So, and the Jewish people in Israel are becoming more and more connected to Torah, more and more connected to Eretz Yisrael, more and more connected to mitzvahs, seeking to serve Hashem, seeking to be a nation who serves Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. All right, that's slowly happening. The bones, the dry bones are coming to life. So, but what happens now is, hey, we're here. So, something that happens in Parshas Balak. I'm a little bit freestyling here on this Parsha podcast. I have a lot of thoughts and we'll see what we get to, but something that happens in Parshas Balak is you see that, first of all, it's a story that we wouldn't even know about the story with Bilam and Balak if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down in the Torah, because it didn't happen directly to the Jewish people. They were trying to curse the Jewish people from afar. They were trying to stop the Jewish people with spiritual means by getting Hashem to cause damage to Klal Yisrael without directly attacking us. They felt they couldn't directly battle with us. But what's interesting, and I saw brought down in Shlomo Katz's Sefer of Shlomo Kalbach Torah on Parshas Balak, he says that there was something about the Moabite people, specifically the king of Moab, Balak, which is that he was focused on the Jewish people. He was worried about the Jewish people. He was upset with the fact that they were coming into the land of Israel. He was afraid that they would run him over, mow him down. And because of that, he was obsessed with them. He was focused on them. He was trying to curse them, trying to stop them. And therefore he hired Bilam. And of course, as we know, Bilam was unable to curse the Jewish people. Instead, all he could say was blessings of the Jewish people. And ultimately, interestingly, Balak had a great, 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 great granddaughter whose name was Ruth. And she would be the forebear of Mashiach. She was going to be the great grandmother of David HaMelech, of King David. And ultimately of Mashiach himself, the Messiah. May he arrive soon. But Balak, because of his obsession with the Jewish people, he was connected. You know, there's different ways of dealing with people that we don't like. One way is that we could just ignore them. Now, if I ignore somebody, so then I'm not really connected to them. I'm not connected to them. I'm not really thinking about them. But what happens to somebody who I'm not interacting with, but I'm always thinking about them? I'm obsessed with them. So I'm very much connected to them. That's what Shlomo Kalbach points out. I'm very much connected to them. Balak was extremely connected to the Jewish people. He was obsessed with trying to cause them to have a downfall, which ultimately he succeeds with the daughters of Midian at the end of Parshas Balak. The obsession with, or the connection with, the Jewish people that he has ultimately Right? At the beginning, it's a very negative type of situation. But ultimately, Chazal say that because of those, the korbanos that he brought, I believe that's what Chazal say, the sacrifices, he brought seven sacrifices to try to convince God to curse the Jewish people. But ultimately, as a result of his connection, it was a negative connection, his great-great-grandchild, as we said, was Rus. And if we think about things today, if we think about the people who hate us, if we think about the people who are obsessed with us, right? So we start to have what we're looking at, right? Let's say it's the Iranians. They're obsessed with Jerusalem. Al-Quds, they call it, which means Makom HaKadosh, the holy location. Al-Quds, Kadosh. Their obsession with the Jewish people is a relationship with us. And they're from afar. They're looking at us from afar. Right? But they're connected. And they're connected to Yerushalayim. And it was interesting to watch during the October 7th war, how as we went into Gaza, everywhere we went, there was a picture of Al-Quds, Hamakom HaKadosh, the holy location, the Dome of the Rock, which is on the location of the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holy of Holies of our Beis HaMikdosh. So there's an obsession there with us, with our holy place, with our Makom HaKadosh, right? It's not even in the Quran. It refers to Al-Aqsa, which is maybe in Israel, maybe not, right? But it's a mosque on the side. It's not even the Golden Dome. There's an obsession with Klal Yisrael. There's a connection with the Jewish people. We see that with Balak. We see that today. We see that with everyone is talking about us, worried about us, thinking about us, targeting us negatively, but focused on us nevertheless, because the Jewish people represent something to the world. We have an interaction with the nations of the world. And here's where I'd like to return to the concept of the 19-year cycle. I just want to point out one more time before the 19-year cycle that in Parshas Chukas as well, the Parsha that they're reading outside of Israel, in that Parsha as well, we have that we're coming into Israel, we're interacting with, we're destroying Og. We send messengers saying, let us through. They don't want to let us through. They stop us. We plow through. We take over their land, right? There's an interaction. There's an interaction here that's going on as we're coming into Eretz Yisrael with the nations of the world. Over the years of Gullus, over the years of exile, so our interaction was a different style, a different type of interaction. As we come into Israel, we become a nation. We stand up as a nation. We're ready to have an influence on the nations of the world. It's important to understand that. Now let's look for a moment at the 19-year cycle and something that I spoke about in the Mashiach podcast was how the eighth year of this 19-year cycle, which was already almost 3 years ago, which was the year 2023, or the end of 2023 going into 2024, the eighth year of the 19-year cycle is a special year. Now, what happens is, and follow with me, I'm going to try to say this in a non-technical way. The Jewish calendar, the lunar calendar, is always falling behind. If you notice, Pesach is at a different time each year, if you look at the solar calendar, right? It falls back. Each year, usually it falls back, except when there's a leap year, it pushes forward. Okay? Every year it falls back about 11 days. And when there's a leap year, it pushes forward 33 days, or I'm sorry, 30 days, 29 or 30 days. So this year, Pesach was 11 days earlier than last year. And actually, this year's Pesach was one of the earliest that it could be. Next year, because it's a leap year, Pesach is going to be 30 days later than it was last year. This year. Okay? The idea here is that we have this relationship, this back and forth between the solar calendar and the lunar calendar, but also between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. There's an interactive play. There's an interplay between us. And it represents the fact that there are times when the Jewish people is stronger, when the Jewish calendar gets ahead, when the Jewish calendar moves forward in the solar calendar, so then the Jewish people have more power, so to speak. It represents the fact that the Jewish people, who are represented by the moon, we have more power. So for example, the eighth year of the cycle, what's special and unique, it's the only year of the 19-year cycle where the Jewish calendar pushes ahead of the non-Jewish calendar, of the secular calendar, the solar calendar. On the 19th year, it returns to the same place. Every 19 years, the Jewish calendar and the solar calendar are aligned exactly. After that, it falls back. Every year, for 3 years, it falls back. 11 days, it falls back. It gets closer on the third year. There's a leap year. And then 3 years later, there's another leap year. But now here's the thing. There's two spots where instead of waiting 3 years, Chazal instituted that you only wait 2 years before you have a leap year. Stay with me. I know it's a little technical, but stay with me. So it's the eighth year and the 19th year. The eighth year and the 19th year of the cycle, we have a push forward that pushes us past. So in the eighth year, it pushes us past the secular calendar. And in the 19th year, it realigns it exactly with the secular calendar. Now, what happens in the eighth year? What happens in the eighth year? 1948 was the eighth year of the cycle. 1967 was the eighth year of the cycle. 2005, which was the year of Gush Katif, was the eighth year of the cycle. And 2024 was again the eighth year of the cycle. The next one will be in 2043. But what happens is, the beauty of it is that there's a push forward. And I like to say there's a push forward in the Mashiach process, because really the Mashiach process is about Klal Yisrael being in a state where we are sometimes crushed, because our egos need to be crushed. Because we've gotten too far into Koich V'Yotzim Yadi, into thinking that it's our power. But either it's our egos are crushed, or as it was in 1948, 1967, there's a huge movement forward for Klal Yisrael. 1967, we got back Yerushalayim. We got back Har HaBayis. We got back the Kaisel. But as we get complacent, as we start to lose sight of what we're doing here, so there can be a crushing of the ego. That's what happened in 2005. That's what happened again, starting with the October 7th war, which was at the beginning of the Jewish year of Tavshin Pei Dalet, which was the leap year. Now, what happens after that? Right, this is something I've always thought about. I've wondered about what happens after that. So look at the pattern. The lunar calendar falls behind 11 days, and then falls behind 11 days, and falls behind 11 days. So in our relationship with the nations of the world, we are losing power. We are losing. They're ahead of us, so to speak. They're ahead of us. So interesting thing, if you look at the calendar, this year on the 23rd of Sivan, we had less power. How do I know? Because last year on the 23rd of Sivan, there was a war that started with Iran. This year as well, there was a one-day war. Now, a few hours. But last year we had a 12-day war. This year was a 12-hour war. But there's a push back. There's a move back away from us having the power. And also notice, like, at the beginning of the October 7th war, so we had a certain strength. We were not being as supported by the American administration. And then at this point in the war, right, of course, we did have a battle with Iran, from Purim until Pesach, till the end of Pesach, but it was being led by Edom. It was being led by the nations of the world. So in a certain sense, the nations of the world were taking charge, taking power away from us, leading that war, maybe on our behalf, maybe for their own benefit. Not clear. We'll see how it plays out. But the essence of the idea is that there's an interplay between us and the nations of the world. Klal Yisrael sometimes has power and sometimes loses power. The nations of the world sometimes have more power, sometimes have less. Depends where we are, if we have our leap year. But we're coming in now to a leap year, and the leap year start, if you remember, you may not, what I spoke about in the Mashiach podcast, go look at that if you're interested, is that the leap year really starts. We have that month of the leap month, this extra month, which is Adar Beis, the second month of Adar. That's going to be next year, right before Pesach, before Passover. But if you count 9 months before, it's called the Shnata Ibur, which means the pregnant year, right? Because we get an extra month. There's a pregnancy. There's something that's being born in the year with an extra month. And what's being born is a move forward for the Jewish people, a forward movement in our power, in our standing in the world, in our relationship with the Ummah Ha'olam, with the nations of the world. So if you count back 9 months, right, 9 months is the Ibur, Rosh Chodesh Av, right? I pointed that out last year, and it starts to reveal, right? When do you see a woman is pregnant? After 3 months. So Av El Tishrei, at the end of Tishrei. So 3 years ago, the end of Tishrei was October 7th. It was at the very end of Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, right? So we're going to start to see a revelation, a manifestation of a process where Klal Yisrael, by Adar time next year, we're going to be in a state of movement towards getting ahead, so to speak, in the balance of the power between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. That's how things are going to reveal themselves, right? That's how things reveal themselves. I don't know what it's going to look like. That's not what I'm coming to say. But what I am coming to say, what I am trying to show, is that the Jewish people has a relationship with the nations of the world. And one of the things that you see is that the Jewish people, we are the ones who count by the moon. They count by the sun. And Klal Yisrael's Hein Am Levadad Yishkon, as Bilam says in his blessing of the Jewish people, we are a unique nation. V'goyim lo yischashav, we're not counted in the nations, right? The nations of the world, and when they start to see us getting too cozy with them, they point out to us that we are separate. So they have this relationship with us, this love-hate relationship with us, because really, we are meant to be the light unto the nations. We are the soul of the nations of the world, right? The soul is separate from the body. The soul animates the body, but the soul has its own thing. It inhabits the body. The body is its own thing. The soul is its own thing. Right? That's why when a person dies, the body goes to where it came from, and the soul goes back to where it came from. Right? The Jewish people are also the soul of the nations of the world. So, we are one nation. We dwell alone. And when we get confused about that, we need a reminder. We need a reminder. And that's what happened. And history repeats itself. But the idea here is that as we come into Eretz Yisrael, as we said at the beginning, as we come into Eretz Yisrael, we are establishing ourselves as a nation, a unique nation, a special nation. We're no longer mixed up amongst the nations of the world. We're no longer in a place of where we can so easily assimilate and believe ourselves to be like them. Right? What happens when a person who's spiritual gets caught up in physicality? We forget who we really are. We get confused. We get caught in the illusion. When we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we're in that process right now, and that's what we're seeing in Parshas Chukas and Balak. Klal Yisrael is coming to establish themselves as a nation in Eretz Yisrael, and they have to interact with the nations of the world, and the nations of the world don't know what to do with us. What are the Jews doing here? Why are they coming to battle us? We don't even want to deal with Moab. The Moabite nations we're enjoined not to mess with. Don't start up with them, right? But still, they don't know what to do with us, Are they supposed to engage with us? They sense that there is some kind of engagement. There is some kind of connection. When Klal Yisrael returns to Eretz Yisrael, there is some kind of connection. There is some kind of something that's going on. We're establishing ourselves, but we have to remain clear who we are. We have to remain clear. What's the mistake that we make? What's the mistake that Bilam gets us to make? It's that we fall prey to the Midianite women. We fall prey to their idolatry. We fall prey to their wiles. And the result is that we lose our specialness. We lose our Kedusha. Right? At the end of Parshas Balak, so we have the Midianite princess is causing Zimri ben Solo, the prince of Shimon, to lose his specialness. And Pinchas comes and he brings back the specialness of Klal Yisrael. He stops the Magefa, the plague stops. When we have lost our sense of who we are and our separateness from the nations, we have to be who we are in order to have an effect on them. And so our calendar represents that because there's a different way that we count things. But there's an alignment. We're bringing it into alignment. Right? Every 19 years we have an alignment. But it goes out of alignment because we are who we are and they are who they are. And we need to be the spiritual inspiration for the nations of the world. We have to get clarity about what is our purpose here in Eretz Yisrael. What is our purpose in the world? Part of that is recognizing where we belong. We belong in Eretz Yisrael. And I'll tell you that even individuals within Eretz Yisrael, we need to get clarity about that. When we have boys being sent to jail because they're not joining the army because they're learning Torah, right? That's a reminder how important the Torah is. And the secular part of the Jewish people, the fact that they're obsessed with the Haredim, they're obsessed with the Lame de Torah, trying to get them is a similar parallel to the nations of the world versus the Jewish people. So within the Jewish people, we also have this. And we need to have the clarity about who we are. We have the clarity about what is our tafkid here. Our purpose is, do I know why I'm sitting and learning? Do I know what the purpose is? Do I know that the point is to give me a real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To give me a real relationship with God? I need to have that clarity. If I have that clarity, then the relationship is no longer a warring relationship. It becomes a relationship of me being an example. Once I'm that example properly, all of the animosity falls. When Klal Yisrael is doing what we're supposed to do, the nations of the world see that. Their animosity falls. We won't need this kind of army if we're doing what we're supposed to do in Eretz Yisrael. Because they will respect us and they will learn from us. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us to understand and see the relationship that each and every one of us has in relationship to those around us. Each one of us has the ability to be a spiritual being that inspires those around us, just like the Jewish people are meant to do to the nations of the world. And each one of us has the ability, Hashem should help us to see that we all have the ability to be the kind of great person that we can be and inspire everyone around us. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.